want us to say a name together, because there's power in this name. There's peace in this name. There's forgiveness in this name. There's love and joy in this name. His name is Jesus today. So when I count to three, I want us to say his name together this morning. One, two, three.
Jesus.
Somebody's good quick, doesn't it? It's good. Fired up again. Let's do it more time. One, two, three.
Jesus.
There's power, isn't it? He knows right where you are today. He can't love you any more than he does. I see Benny Kirksey down here. He and I were on a trip a couple weeks ago to Egypt. And we were standing over the city in the desert. You could see the city. 27 million people in the city. In the area where our work is in Cairo, in a mile's radius, there's 4 million people. About the same size, I believe they said, as Los Angeles, in a mile's radius of our work there. Puts a little perspective. 27 million people is 3.5 times the whole state of Tennessee in that one city. And the Muslim prayers were going out about 5 o'clock that day. I was just standing. Really, I wasn't standing. I was sitting on a camel. And I was overlooking the city. And I was thinking, in fact, I think I said something to Beanie about it. And I started praying to the Lord. He knows where all those 27 million people are. And you know what? He couldn't love them any more than he does. You're here today and you say, I feel lonely and struggling and hurting. You're in the right place. This church is made up of people who don't have it all together. You know what I'm saying? If you got it all together here, we got a problem. We got multiple Jesus walking around here. You know, this is a hospital for the sick. We don't have it all together. But we're worshiping someone that does. And that's Jesus today. I didn't want to preach this sermon today. In fact, I did everything I could to get out of preaching this today. And you're saying, well, it's a good time for me to be at church with a guy I don't even want to preach. Just being honest. When my pastor asked me to share my story in July, all this week I wrestled with it. I've not made it through this sermon alive, not alive, I've not made it through this sermon without squalling, so I better go ahead and get my Kleenex if that's okay. Someone brought it over here. Because this has been an interesting season for me. This past June, my mother was in life care, and she had not been responding for several weeks. And for some reason, the Lord woke me up one Wednesday morning early and said, hey, you basically gave me the kind of nudge, you need to go see your mom. I've gone to see my mom all the time, but no response. So on that morning when I went to see my mom, her eyes were awake. I mean, I've not seen that in several weeks. And I went over to my mom and I got right close to her and she just looked at me and I said, "Hey, Mom." And she started smiling. My mom has lived an interesting life. My mom's father had passed away when she was 8. And my father had passed. She's been a widow since she's 45. Pretty tough lady. She raised 2 boys with strong energy and a personality like, unfortunately, like you see here. And I looked at my mom. I said, "Mom, I love you." She smiled. I said, "Mom, you've been a great mother." I said, "You were a great wife to Dad." I said, "Mom, it's time. It's time for you to go see Dad in heaven and Jesus." And then I looked at her and I said, "Mom, I'll see you in a minute." She smiled. See, the fact of it is, many times on earth, we live like earth is our final destination. Do we understand that? We are but a vapor here on earth. It's quickly gone. Heaven or hell is eternity. It's forever. We're aliens. If you know Christ in this world, we're aliens to this world. This is not my home. This was not my mother's home. That afternoon, my mother went to be with the Lord. That afternoon. You ever felt like dying? Have you ever thought about dying? Have you ever thought about dying? Man, you're just looking at me and saying, "Wow, this is a very uplifting sermon." That's why I didn't want to preach it. But I think if you hang in here with me, you'll see it will be uplifting. But it's an appointment that we're all going to have to keep. Do we all understand that? The Bible says there's an appointment unto man to die and then the judgment. So there's an appointment we're all going to have to keep. In fact, I see Leslie Christian here. She has to deal with that all the time. She's in charge of hospice, if you will, for Chattanooga area. It's her job. If you look at Scripture, you see people that have died that have come back. If you have Elijah, you know, he died and he came back. And then you have Lazarus, who Jesus rose from the grave. And then if you look at the Scripture that Steve wonderfully read of Paul, verse 2 in chapter 12. If you look at that Scripture, Paul, for some reason in this Scripture, speaks in the third person. And if I've had a chance to go to Corinth before. If you look at all the ways that Paul traveled to different places, he had to want to go to Corinth to go there. Because like when I went, you had the sea and you had the mountains. So we just took a bus in a tunnel right through the mountain. But in Paul's day, obviously he did not have a tunnel. And he wanted to go there anyway. And the place was messed up. Corinth was messed up. So here you have a guy, a man who wants to go to this city, and he goes without worrying about the terrain, not being concerned about the attitude of the atmosphere or the town, because he wanted to tell them about Jesus. And if you look at verse 2, he says, "I know a man who in Christ 14 years ago was called up in the third heaven. Where in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows." See, he's talking about himself. And he's talking about a near-death experience. And if you go back to verse 1, he talks about boasting is necessary. And when you talk about Corinth, you're talking about a city who likes to boast in itself. Kind of reminds me of the United States a lot of times. Right? You think about it. We're pretty boastful people, if you will. But Paul does not want to boast in himself, because if you look at verse 6, if I tell him the truth, what I'm going through is tough. And you see that in verse 7. So I won't, what I'm going through is tough in verse 6. So I won't exalt myself in verse 7, because I have a thorn in my flesh that was given to me by the enemy, by Satan. So here you have Paul is a guy who loves the Lord, that wants to go to a city that's hard to get to, that's messed up. And when he goes to see, realizing it's all crazy, he gets to the city and says, I'm going to boast, but I'm not going to boast like you're boasting. I'm going to boast in Christ. And even though I'm going through tough times, and even being given a thorn in my flesh that's tough, I'm going to be making much of Christ. Do you have a thorn in your flesh? Do you have a thorn in your flesh that kind of reminds me, hey, at the end of the day, I'm not really in charge here? Steve and I talk about his thorn, his flesh is sight. And how he wrestled with the Lord with his thorn in his flesh, cry out to God on the floor, in the kitchen floor where he is prostrate, crying out to the Lord. Isn't that right, Steve? And the Lord showed himself real. Well, I've had a thorn in my flesh all my life. See, I have genetics that lead me to heart issues. And you know, the fact of it is, I did everything I could on the outward to make myself healthy. So the thorn in my flesh, which was my greatest fear, was two things. My greatest fear was to have a heart attack and to have open heart surgery. Hello? Haunt me. So I did everything I could to get myself healthy. I would ride a bike. Mike Sharp and I, he's sitting over here. Mike Sharp and I work out the Y all the time. Every day, ride a bike. Two treadmill, do everything we can. My cholesterol, I want to see who in this room's got a better cholesterol than me. Raise your hand if you got a better cholesterol than me. Mine is 98. Hello? Unbelievable. Blood pressure, 114 over 70. Pretty good. So outwardly, I've done everything that I can to be healthy. But genetics. When I was in high school, one morning my dad was going to a Ford, he sold farm equipment. He was going to a Ford thing. And he wakes me up. He never did this before. He wakes me up one morning and he looks at me. He said, Jeff, when I'm gone, I want you to make sure you take care of your mama and your brother. I have a younger brother while I'm gone. I'm in high school. I don't think anything about it. It's unusual. My dad never woke me up in the morning like that and woke me up and told me that. So he leaves. He's in his 40s. He has a massive heart attack when he's gone and dies. So my thorn in my flesh is rain and ringing true in my ear forever. So outwardly, I did everything I could to get myself prepared not to have a heart attack or open heart surgery. And then this past Easter happened. And this past Easter, God taught me verses 9 and 10 of chapter 12. If you look at it, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power was made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content. Now look here, that word content, it's an adjective that means peaceful. And the reason he's content is because of God's grace and his power. Because look what he's content. For I am content or is peaceful with weakness, with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. How in the world can I have peace in my life if I've got a thorn in my flesh? That I've tried, Jeff, you've been right there, that I've tried to deal with outwardly by being in shape. Hey, work out, eat right, take an 81 milligram aspirin every day since I was 35. Do all the things right. How do I have grace and power and contentment or peace? Only by Jesus. And you know what? Look here. He took me there. I did everything outward. Jesus took me to the place where I learned to be more dependent on him. Last April, Easter, on Friday, Good Friday, we had a groundbreaking ceremony. We had lunch, groundbreaking ceremony, and a service. And I was kind of one of the guys in charge of logistics over that. Then that day, I rode a bike for 15 miles at the Y, inside. Saturday comes along. We have Easter egg hunt. We have a service. Then Pat Hensley, myself, and Rachel and Chris go play 2.5 hours with a pickleball. Then Rachel and I walked. One of the greatest things about walking, Rachel and I have been married 34 years, has kind of kept our marriage together. We walk every day. Sunday comes along. We baptized about 100 people here Sunday morning. I think I baptized 30 people right there in that baptistry. Have great Easter morning services. That afternoon, I go to my grandkids. We have an Easter egg hunt. I do all that. Come back. Our staff has a fellowship. I teach some staff kids who don't know how to hit a wiffle ball. We have a wiffle ball game. They have video of me teaching kids how to hit wiffle ball. We left there. We're going to go to the Bart and Julie Walker's house. Me and Rachel, Bart and Julie, and Karen and Ken Wallace, Sharon and Ken. We went to Walker's house to walk. Not unusual. We get to their house, and some quarterbacks, local quarterbacks, are out there throwing football. So I start throwing football with them. Then I get up after throwing football. I said, hey, let's go. We go for a walk. I get about 100 yards down the road, and it was like from here across here up my neck, it was like something branding my chest on fire. I never experienced anything like it. I told Rachel, hey, I need to go home and get some water or something. So we go home, I get some water and an 81 milligram aspirin. Because you remember, my thorn in my flesh is always in my mind. And I'm there for about 2 minutes, and I say, hey, let's go. We got to go to the hospital. So they take me to Memorial Hospital. When I get there, they rush me right in. Great. EKG. Now, my heart blood pressure is always perfect. So they do the triage, and my blood pressure is like 192 and 120 something. High. The doctor runs in the hall. He said, Mr. Levengood, you're having a massive heart attack. You're 15 minutes from dying right now. Hello? I'm living my thorn in my flesh. They start running around. They said, I looked at Rachel. I said, I'm having a heart attack. What in the world am I going to die? And they said, no, it's in your lower right area, so you're going to be okay. We're going to give you two stents and you're going to be fine. So it's all good. I guess good. So they take me back, put stents in my heart. They said Rachel, she couldn't come in. The doctor comes in and said, we got a problem. They said, your heart is bad. Your main three arteries are all blocked. It's called the big three. One's 100, one's 95, one's 85. And you're going to have between 3 and 7 bypasses. My heart's in AFib jumping around. They bring Rachel in. I said, Rachel, I'm going to have 3 bypasses. They're all, and I'm just sitting there. What in the world's going on? That night was the best night of my life. You're saying, how in the world is that night the best night of your life? That night, I went from an outward trying to make sure I'm healthy to a total dependence on the Lord. Rachel couldn't come in my room. And I got to singing. I need thee every hour. I got to singing. And then I started quoting scripture. God, you got to do something here. And then I started praying. And I started praying. This little nurse. Little nurse comes in my room. She said, the Holy Spirit's in this place. It's so bad. My singing's so bad. David Whipple, the choir, when I was a youth, he used to tell me to mouth the words. I got to singing. Lady got to sing, and a couple nurses comes in. We just have a retirement. My heart's in AFib jumping out. They don't know if I'm going to have another heart attack or stroke. And Then I started understanding what God's grace and power is. But I really started to understand that contentment. That contentment is peace. In those times, in the end of that scripture says, when I am weak, thou art strong. And in my toughest times, my biggest thorn in my flesh, God showed me his grace, demonstrated his power, and helped me to understand the peace that passes all understanding. But Lockerman comes to see me all the time now. You know, I was the first staff person Lockerman called here on staff when he first got here the first time. I was the last staff person he called before he got to be pastor emeritus. And I told him, Brother Allen, I wouldn't change that experience for anything in the world. Because I feel right now more sensitive to the Holy Spirit than I ever have in my life. I understand that sensitivity. The reason I think I understand is because of grace and power and the peace that passes all understanding. See, the deal is this. After that night, the next afternoon, they're going to have open heart surgery. And then they give you this dadgum mortality rate. I don't know why they do that. They come in and they tell you how much your percentages of making it through this surgery. And you know what my percentages were, Mark Tipton? 30%. They gave me a 30% chance to make it through that surgery. And then I asked the question, I said, if I don't do it, what's my percentage? You got 0%. Well, 30 from zero is pretty doggone good. It depends how you want to look at that gentleman. They took me down the hallway and the toughest thing was that my wife was holding my hand. We're going down that, and when we prayed, she let my hand go. Ooh, I'm sorry. I was either going to wake up in the eyes of Jesus or see my wife. I went either way on that one. So they got me in the operating room, and I said, guys, I want all of us to gather and pray. I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, I pray that these doctors will glorify yourself. Thank you for giving them all this gifts and intelligence. I pray they'll glorify you as they operate on my heart. When I said that prayer, I opened my eyes. Peace. Peace. I'll tell you. Peace. I got a new heart that day. I'd walked around and convinced myself I was healthy the whole time I was dying inside. Jesus changed my heart. I was saved when I was 11, 12 years old at James Robinson Crusade. But on that day, the Lord let me deal with my thorn in my flesh. Basically saying, I got that. You're here today, you say, I got a thorn in my flesh. God's got it. Got it. Learn to be dependent on Him, not in you. He's got it. With Paul, he's boasting in the Lord that he knows has it. Are you dependent in the Lord today?